Are alive. Amen. Maybe we could pray for our air conditioners. I'm not sure whether they're set wrong or what, but it does not feel very cool in here. So anyway, maybe somebody who knows more than I do, which when it comes to air conditioning is not difficult. How y'all doing? Good. All right, I have a little story to tell you. Says one mom didn't like the thought of her boy, Timmy, walking to his first grade class unaccompanied. But he was too grown up to be seen with his mother. Besides, he said, I can walk with a friend. And so she did her best to stay calm, quoting the 23rd Psalm to him every morning, and said, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. One day, she came up with an idea, and she asked a neighbor to follow Tim to school in the mornings, staying at a distance in case he noticed her. The neighbor was happy to oblige. She took her toddler in the morning, walks that way anyway. And after several days, Tim's little friend noticed the lady and the child. Do you know who that woman is who follows us to school? Sure, Tim answered. That's Shirley's goodness and her daughter, Marcy. Who? My mom reads about them every day in the 23rd Psalm. She says, surely goodness and Marcy will follow me all the days of my life. I guess I'll have to get used to it. So aren't we glad this morning, like Jody shared, that we are never, ever alone, that God has an irrevocable covenant with you and with me, and that is an awesome, awesome thing. We talk about... Here you've heard us say and me say about holding the presence, holding the atmosphere. So we need to be conscious of that and do that, especially on Sundays when we come. Last week, if most of you I think were here, some of you were not, but we had a powerful move of the Holy Spirit. It was tremendous. It was unexpected. It was... So I want to just talk us through that, okay? So it's kind of like an open session. So if you have comments or questions, you can do that. Just for the first part, I still have 30 pages to go on my notes on this hot morning. You see what happens when we just simply obey the Holy Spirit, because that's how the morning started. We did everything like we, quote, normally do. And it's not that the presence of the Lord and the Holy Spirit is not here every morning. He is. He just is colorful and manifests in many different forms and many different ways. It's not always tongues of fire and all that stuff, which we read in the book of Acts. It's not always gates opening, prison doors opening, and stuff like that. God, the Holy Spirit moves in various ways. And so last Sunday, we saw the Holy Spirit move in a bit of a unique way, maybe unfamiliar to some of you. How many of you that was here last Sunday that was unfamiliar? Can I see your hands? Okay. So I, although I'm, you know, ankle deep in Baptist theology, I also went to a church out in Gilmore. We went to camp meeting. And so that thing at camp meeting, that atmosphere of the Holy Spirit happened very, very regularly. In fact, let me just say. Okay, so we started to pray for people, and this is not to point anybody out or make anybody think that person's better or anything else. But when I put my hand on Gary, there was like an electric bolt that shot through me, and I was just down, and I spilt the oil that much my head was conscious of. And then all I'm thinking is, I think my shirt's up. I wish somebody would come and cover me up. And they did. Somebody came with, you know, the drop cloth, as we call it, and covered me up. And it was good. So I'm saying all these things for a reason. Because sometimes we think, oh, well, what I do is just cover somebody with a cloth, doesn't really. But it allowed me to just be not conscious of what I looked like on the outside. And I didn't want all of you to need inner healing after the end of the service. So then I thought, okay, who's going to take the service now, Lord? Because I've had that happen a few times, and I was just out for the whole service. But the worship kept going on. Praise the Lord, right? For a worship team that knew, okay, we've got extra songs, we're going to keep going. All of those things helped the flow and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit to go on. Because you have to know that I was conscious enough to know that if the music stopped and there was no more singing, and that I would have gotten up. This is what I do. This is my job. This is my responsibility on a Sunday morning. I would have gotten up and we would have carried on. But because other people did their job, filled their position, the Holy Spirit was able to continue moving. And it was fantastic. It was absolutely amazing. And then, of course, Rebecca said that she didn't even know that I had fallen under the power of the Holy Spirit. She just saw these two little feet. I had my Chinese shoes on, so she saw my little Chinese shoes sticking out from underneath the drop cloth and said, oh, okay, Lord, now what, you know? And so they were just able to keep going. And then other people came and allowed the Holy Spirit to continue on in the manner that he wanted to move last Sunday. And so somebody was beside me. I want to tell you that I was not tired. Some people said to me, oh, you couldn't stand. You must have been so tired. I was not tired. I was so under the influence of the Holy Spirit that my body was just so weak. And Brad came along and helped me for a little while, and I think he was wondering how and where to hold me up without something happening. And so then Bella came along, and I felt these big, strong arms around me. She even wrapped somebody's sweater around me so that, again, we could keep it PG rated. And all of those things helped me. And Gary or Glenn and Kim, I saw them at times when I opened my eyes. There they were right beside me, you know, and I was so thankful for the ministry of the body last Sunday. And we held the atmosphere. And we did that together. Amen. At the end, Hewitt came. I was sitting there and saw people with sandwiches and stuff. And next thing I know, Hewitt brings me a little plate of sandwiches and fed her pastor, you know. All of those things are so, they're just vitally, vitally important. Some of you had words for me. You spoke over me. You prayed over me, you know. And it was remarkable, wasn't it? And so, have you held the atmosphere this week? Have you? Sometimes the way we hold the atmosphere is just saying, thank you, Holy Spirit. That was so delicious last week. Thank you, Holy Spirit, right? And so we just hold the atmosphere. We hold the atmosphere by getting involved. We hold the atmosphere by saying, you know what? I'm really tired this morning. So I'm just going to sit here. No, I'm going to step in to what the Holy Spirit wants to do to me and through me. Amen? One of my favorite verses, I remember, before I tell you this, I remember when I was at this place called Gilmore up north. They had powerful, powerful, the Holy Spirit. You could walk on the ground and the hair on your arms would stand up because you just felt the presence of the Holy Spirit was so, so strong. They were people of prayer. They were people of the Holy Spirit. And it was absolutely incredible. And I remember, I felt like this last Sunday because I remember them, one big, strong person held Bill Prankard up, actually put his feet on top of his feet and walked around with Bill Prankard because Bill was just out of it. He just couldn't stand under the power of the Holy Spirit, took his hand, flopped it on people's And people were, you know, went down under the power of the Holy Spirit. And when I got home, I was thinking about it. And I thought, I felt like that. I felt like Bella was just kind of dragging me around from person to person, you know. And so one of my lifetime favorite verses is in 1 Chronicles 1:27. And it says, did I get the right verse? Yes, it talks about the foolishness of God being wiser than men and the weakness of God being stronger than men. And I'm not one to say that, you know, we can do all kinds of crazy, foolish things and say that it's God. But He's God, and the Holy Spirit can do what He wants as long as it lines up with the Scripture. It's got to line up with the Word of God, because otherwise we get off and we get flaky. And we know that last Sunday lined up. I mean, the Word says that they're not drunk, but they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They were acting like drunken men because of the filling of the Holy Spirit. And then my other verse is that God takes the foolish to confound the wise. He takes the weak and the foolish. And when I began preaching and sharing my testimony, that was my key verse, that God, if you can use anything, then use me today, Holy Spirit, because I am weak. And in many forms, I'm foolish to scholars and educated people. But God takes the weak and He takes the foolish, and they confound the wise. You see, it goes on in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 1. You see your calling, brethren, not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world. Brenda, God spoke to you and said that He chose you. That it wasn't me, it wasn't others around you, but God said over and over, I don't remember too much, but I remember Brenda didn't close her eyes nicely when I spoke to her. She stared at me right in the face like, come on, give it to me. You were listening. That's good, because God said that He chose you to do the Bible study, chose you to be His bride, you know, and we need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. So do any of you have any comments, any questions? You're all good? Well, you all came back, so you weren't too scared. So I do want to thank you for each of you, too. Thank you to Kim and Glenn. Again, it was just a support to have you beside me, you know, ready to catch people, because it's not comforting to me if I think the Holy Spirit is going to come on you and you're going to fall over. Like, I know, I've heard stories as well, true stories. In fact, this same camp told me stories about, we never ever had catchers. In fact, one day there was a open stove there, you know, how they used to heat classrooms in the olden days and stuff like that. And this person actually was slain in the spirit, fell right on this hot stove and laid there for like 10, 15 minutes, and then got up and absolutely nothing was wrong. I've had people in my ministry fall and crack their head on the back of the pew. And I thought, oh, Jesus, I'm going to have to pray healing over that. And no, they get up and they just didn't feel a thing, because it's the Holy Spirit that does that. And I realize there are times like that, but I also realize, for me, if I look and think, oh, someone's going to catch you, I feel that comforts me, if you know that. I know you can fall down under the Holy Spirit and not get hurt. I do understand that. But it's comforting for me to see, okay, I've got a catcher there.
Finally, he brought the whole package and used them. I thought, oh, that's
fair. Amen. And one of my favorite parts was when the song came on and said, oh, we're just having a little bit of fun. Do you remember that? I thought, yes, God, because that kind of move of the Holy Spirit should be fun. God's not in it to make us this people that never speak, never laugh. It's totally the opposite. And he moves on us in incredible, incredible ways. He is the Holy Spirit. He's inside us. We are never, ever alone. Never alone. Isn't that awesome? To never, ever be alone. That's an awesome, awesome thing. Some are single, some are divorced, some don't have, seem like they don't have anybody. But if we can press into the Holy Spirit, then we can realize that we are never, ever alone. And so, any other comments or questions now that you've thought about it a little bit? You all good? All right. So, we're carrying on in our journey, talking about the Holy Spirit. And John 14, 26 says, "The Holy Spirit will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you." And so, as you read through the scriptures, remember that that is the one of the job descriptions of the Holy Spirit, right? Is that he comes into our life and he teaches us the things that we need to learn. So what are some of the things that we've, what are some of the job descriptions, some of the names and the things that we say, okay, this is what the Holy Spirit, this is who he is, this is his job. What are they? 4 weeks now I've been teaching. What are, you've seen it on the PowerPoint, comforter, teacher, provider, what would you say? Healer. Okay, remember, I'm in a big place I've never been before. I'm in a museum. I don't want to walk through this museum on my own. I need a guide. So he's our comforter, he's our guide, he's our coach, and he's the truth. He can be trusted. He's our friend. He can be trusted in all of these things. And he's our teacher. So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit being our teacher for a few minutes this morning. 14:26 is our key verse. Says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things." And so as well as all those other ministries of the Holy Spirit, he's also our teacher. I don't know, any of you seen the old movie or even the new movie, The Karate Kid? Any of you see that? Can I see your hands? Go home and watch it this afternoon. It's a great movie. It's a really good movie. And so in The Karate Kid, you saw the teacher who was Mr. Miyagi, and he got, I want to say Will Smith, but it wasn't. he got the guy who was being beat up. I forget his name in the movie. The old one. Danielson. Yes, thank you. Danielson. And so anyway, Mr. Miyagi is teaching Daniel because he's been beat up. And he needs to be able to respond to being beat up and being bullied. And so Mr. Miyagi brings him into his home. And first of all, the things that he gets him to do is he gets him to, I think it was wax the car. And so he had to wax the car in a certain way, in a certain direction. And then it was wax on, wax off, right? Okay, I've got your attention. And so he had to go this way, and then he had to go this way, and so he waxes all this car. And then the next day he comes back, he's sore and he's stiff, and he has to paint the fence. And he has to paint in a specific way, like this. He has to paint up and down. And so he starts and he paints the fence, and he calls him, and he said, "That's great." But then he shows him these other miles and miles of fence. And he said, "Now you use the other hand, and you go up and you go down." And so then he does something else, and the floor, he had to sand the floor. And it was the same, he had to sand it in a certain way. He started going back and forth, and he's like, no, you have to go this way. And so through all of that, Mr. Miyagi was teaching, coaching, and even though Daniel's son did not understand, he thought he was just making him do his work for him. But when time you get to the halfway through it, you realize that all of these moves that he's done are karate moves that have strengthened those specific moves that he needed to make in order to win the event. And so the Holy Spirit is like that with us. He teaches us life lessons that we don't understand. Why do I have to do this over and over again? You know, I have to do the same thing. And we can sometimes get complaining to God, like, God, I'm the only one who even thinks about cutting the grass at the church. Nobody else even thinks about it. They don't even seem to care whether it's 3 feet high. It doesn't matter. The person might say, I'm the only one who thinks about that. Why isn't anybody else? But in the midst of that, there's a teaching going on that the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life and in my life as we go through sometimes the same stuff over and over and over. Sometimes that teaching is for patience. I remember when I lived in Ancaster and the kids went to school, we just had no money at all. We were just broke all the time. And so I would take my father-in-law's car and I would drive the kids to their schools. And then I would run out of gas. And so I'd have to phone the automobile club. They'd come and put gas in, but just a little bit. And so I was telling my father-in-law this one day, and he said to me, you know, Joy, it costs just as much money to fill the top half of the gas tank as it does to fill the bottom half. So I want to tell you that after running out of gas many times, learning has taken place in my life. I don't run out of gas anymore. And because God used that in my life as a teaching moment. The last time it happened, I've told you, I was in British Columbia, and I was out of gas, and it was midnight, and I didn't have GPS. I did not know where I was going, and I had no gas, and I felt like I was lost. Fortunately, they had cell phones, or car phones anyway, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me in my fear and said, I will not let you run out of gas. And he didn't say, but this is the last time. And so I found a gas station. I think I leapt out and kissed the guy and was so grateful that they were open and I found my way. But that was the last time. And it's like, when am I going to get this? How stupid can you be and still be alive? That's what I thought. Because it was absolutely, there was no reason for it at all other than procrastination. Well, I'll get it on the way home. I didn't know I'd be going home at midnight when all the gas stations in the city were closed. I didn't know that. But if I had listened to the Holy Spirit, if I had listened to the voice of my father-in-law trying to teach me those things, I wouldn't have panicked. And so now I realize, okay, in a couple of weeks I'm speaking out in St. Catharines. On Saturday night or Saturday morning, I will fill my car with gas. I won't wait till Sunday morning to do it because I might be late, I might have slept in, et cetera, right? And so learning needs to take place. And so in your life, has learning taken place in some areas? Why are some people always late to work? 20 years they work in the same job. We had a person that used to come to this church every Sunday, they were late. I mean, 20 minutes late. And I had to say, I can't use you in leadership. You have great gifts and great skills, and God wants to use you. But I will not use a person who is such a bad example and constantly late. Like, what is your problem? You don't have little kids or anything like that. We understand an occasional time like that. But, I forgot something. I had to go back home for it. When did you remember it? Last night. Get up in the middle of the night, write a note, and stick it on your door and go back to sleep. Right? All of these things are because the Holy Spirit is practical. He doesn't want us bumbling around, missing out on our ministry because I can't do what needs to be done. You all good with that? All right. So, we are never, ever, ever alone. Has learning taken place? You know that at one point in that movie, Daniel gets mad because he doesn't realize that all the training is for a specific reason. And when we understand the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, then we won't be frustrated. Sometimes we can be slow learners. Sometimes we're just plain rebellious and we want to do things our own way. Sometimes it's just procrastination. And we might think that the lessons are just practical. They're nothing to do with spiritual things or what our ministry or what he's called you to do. But sometimes we're just lazy, scared, and scared of failure. So the Holy Spirit uses people. He uses the word to teach us some very practical things and very practical life lessons as we look at the word of God. He gives us what I call an aha moment. Have you ever been reading the scripture and you've read it so many times? You've read, say, the book of Genesis. You've read it and all of a sudden there's an aha moment like, oh, that's the Holy Spirit who's there doing that. And it's like this revelation. Well, that's the Holy Spirit that just showed you that. Because I want to tell you, this book is closed without the Holy Spirit. You cannot understand the Word of God and the spiritual things in it without the Holy Spirit. No amount of teaching, training, or Bible school can help you if we do not allow the Holy Spirit. And by allowing the Holy Spirit, we acknowledge his presence. Oftentimes, I would just, and I'm doing it again more than ever, just opening the word and saying, Holy Spirit, what do you want to show me? What do you want to show me from this portion of scripture? I read 1 Corinthians a little bit last night. Couldn't get past verse 26 because the Holy Spirit was just stopping me, showing me stuff again and again and again. Stuff that I had written in my Bible. It's like, yes, I remember you doing that. God, I remember what that Greek word means. It was the Holy Spirit bringing these things, not only teaching, but his other job is to bring back to remembrance those things. And so the Holy Spirit communicates to us the will of Christ. He teaches us what the will of Christ is. The Holy Spirit, we sang it this morning, can speak to us directly. He can speak in an audible voice. He can speak in a still small voice. He can speak through somebody else. Be listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit. And when something bugs you and irritates you, stop for a minute and say, Holy Spirit, what is this about? Sometimes the Holy Spirit will be trying to get at something in you that's been there for a long, long time, and he's just bringing it to the surface. But if we just ride on over it and say, oh, that just always makes me so mad. Well, why does that always make you mad? Or why does that always make you sad? Or why are you always feeling rejected? That's the Holy Spirit just pushing that button, saying, I want to teach you something. I don't want you to have those emotions all the way through your Christian life. I want to bring some healing. And so he can speak to us directly. He speaks by an inner voice. He can use others. And he, of course, uses the word of God. Have you ever just been burdened for somebody? You don't know why, but sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night. Sometimes you're just, I don't know if any other group calls it that, but Christians, we call it burdened, right? Have you ever been burdened for somebody? Let me see your hands. You ever just been burdened for somebody? That's the Holy Spirit. He just lays somebody on your heart. You make a quick phone call or a text, or you write a letter, or however you do it, or you just pray and you find out later, oh my gosh, that was just the time when was the Holy Spirit burdened me for that person. As parents, that happens a lot because we're connected with our kids. They're our sphere of authority that we have over. And so we're connected with that. And we have this feeling that I just feel like something's not right. And we can go on and we can say, oh, I wonder what that feeling is about. Or we can say, Holy Spirit, is there something I need to pray about? I need to seek you about with regards to this person. And that's when praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, is a great benefit and a great help. Not only does praying in tongues edify us, or praying in the Holy Spirit edify and build us up. You need building up? Then pray in the Holy Ghost. Just pray in the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes the Holy Spirit will give you the interpretation of that and show you specifically how to pray for that person. That actually happens to me quite often, and I'm I have not learned, I won't say that, but I'm learning to follow up on those cues. We have a friend, Dr. Lois Burkett, who's gone to be with the Lord now, but we went to her intensives about 5 times, and it was life-changing for me. I realized as I listened to a speaker yesterday at Living Hope Breakfast, she talked about knowing God and serving God for a portion of her life. She was, you know, like 20-ish when she got saved. But it wasn't, she's over 60 now, it wasn't until recently that she realized the depth of the love of God and that God loved her. But all of her Christian life up to that point, she was just serving. She was serving out of responsibility, a sense of responsibility. She wasn't serving because, oh, I love you, Jesus. That was missing. And she realized she had to open her heart and had to receive that love. But as she spoke, I realized I've never felt that way. The minute I got saved, there was this impartation of how much God loved me, how much God loved me. And so oftentimes I'll get burdened about somebody or something. Oh, Dr. Lois Burkett. And so when she passed away, actually it was at one of her conferences. I keep going on these treks. But she, at her conference, she would send these 30 people out, all leaders in some capacity. And we would go out and we would have to spend half an hour or X number of time just listening to the Holy Spirit. We could not speak. We couldn't talk to anybody. We couldn't take our devices. We couldn't listen to music. We took our Bible and we took a notebook. And we sat and we listened. And every person in that place just said, oh my gosh, I'm going to come back with nothing. I just can't sit and just hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. But without fail, for 5 years, 4 or 5 years, every person came back telling us what the Holy Spirit said to them. What the Holy Spirit said to me, I was walking, I was done. I listened to the Holy Spirit. He told me a couple of things, and I was walking through, our time was up. I can see it plain, walking through the arches of that place. And the Holy Spirit said to me, I have not only called your husband to ministry, but I've called you. Because up until that time, I was just on Pastor Ace's coattails. He was the boss. He was the one who had all these great ideas. And, you know, I could come along. I could share a little bit. I could sing a little song every now and then. People got blessed, you know. But to have the Holy Spirit say, this is the mantle I'm placing on you as well. Not, it's like I choose you. That's what it was for me. And so I began to arise to that. I began to walk in that. It wasn't anything, I mean, it was totally the opposite with Pastor Ace. He was always pushing me out, always saying, you can do this. You've got this. Go to the Dominican and teach leaders. You got this. You can do this. So it was me. It was something within me that the Holy Spirit needed to heal. And so since that time, as I yield and learning to yield to the Holy Spirit, I'm learning about this burden that the Holy Spirit places. And one of the things I was burdened about not long ago was Dr. Lois Burkett had a daughter who was a counselor, and she was very anointed. She was a lovely person, but it was not, you know, you have people and you meet them, you're like your friends forever. You're just, because you've got this, there's this connection. You know, it was not that way with Michelle and I. I knew her, we were friends, but I would never, you know, go out of my way to have coffee with her or anything like that. She was a great, great person. But about a year ago, I had such a burden for her. You see, her mom had passed away. She was an only child. Her dad was gone. She's in a top-notch, great church. But I was burdened for her. And so I thought, well, Lord, I'm just going to follow up on it, even though she'll probably, because I had followed up at other times and reached out, and that reaching out was rejected. There was this wall. And so I thought, well, okay, you know, we'll just carry on. So to write this little text was a big thing for me, because I figured she's just going to write me back and say, yeah, I know, you know. Well, what am I telling you for then? Have you ever had somebody do that? You want to bless them and you say, or you say, wow, that was so great, thank you. And they say, it wasn't me, it was Jesus. Yeah, but he's living in you, so I'll thank God, but I thank you too. It's kind of like, it's like somebody pours a bucket of cold water on you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And so that's what I felt. I was sure that she would just write back, because I didn't quote scripture. I just said, I want you to know that I love you, and that God has burdened my heart for you, and I'm praying for you, and, you know, a couple of other things. I don't really remember all what. And she texted back, and she didn't text back anything great, but she just said, thank you so much. I appreciate that. And then it wasn't until a couple of months ago that Pastor Sue heard from Michelle, and Michelle said to Pastor Sue, you know, it was like I got a lifeline from Pastor Joy. She sent me that text, and it was just at the perfect time that I needed that text. But I didn't know that until a year later. And so sometimes we have to just follow the leading, the burdening of the Holy Spirit. And never mind what do I hear back? I don't know if I hear back. I don't know. I may never hear back. But you know what I know is that, okay, Holy Spirit, I did what you told me to do. And that's where our responsibility ends, right? With the Holy Spirit. Just do what he tells you to do and leave the rest up to the Holy Spirit. And so he can come, he can speak to us through a burdening as well. We're here at Core Church and the Hamilton Dream Center because Pastor Ace was burdened for the city. He would drive through the city and he would see people and he would think, they need Jesus. There needs to be Jesus in this place. And he would see people. He was burdened for people that had no food, burdened for prostitutes, 12, 13 years old, sitting on the street. When we first opened up, they used to, when we were finished church at 12 or 12:30, then they'd be on our porch selling as prostitutes, selling what they sell. And Pastor Ace was burdened for that. I did not have the burden for that, but Pastor Ace did. And he responded to that burden by saying, okay, Holy Spirit, what do you want us to do? And then we went to the Dream Center in L.A. We went to the church in L.A. He looked at me, I looked at him, and he said, this is what we're supposed to do. We have to start a Dream Center. We want to meet the felt needs of the community. That's because of the burden of the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes he teaches us by burdening us. Do you understand what I'm talking about? He can give us a picture of something or someone. I've told you many times about the water that I poured over that minister's head because I saw it. I saw as I was standing there praying for that minister with his tight, tight, curly black hair. And I saw him standing there and his wife sitting in the pew back there. And I saw him and I saw water being poured on him. And I thought, oh, it's so hot. Wouldn't that be great? I turned to somebody and one of the leaders there and said, oh, I just had a pitcher. I just feel like I should pour water on him. Instantly, there was a bottle of water in my hand. So I got a confirmation of that, of what I saw. And I'm glad I did, because I found out that he was one of the really big wigs of the Pentecostal church in the Dominican. So he's the Spirit of truth. He's the teacher. He opens our understanding so we can understand the Word of God. John 6:63 says, it's the Spirit who gives life. I think we sang it this morning. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak, Jesus said to you, are spirit and they are life. So these words are not just like any other book that we would open up. This is the Word of God. Isn't that quite tremendous? That we can know this God so intimately. Have you ever tried to read the Bible before you were saved? It was just mass confusion. Of course, we always start and we get into Leviticus and all of those things. Or we jump to Revelation because we want to know the future. And we haven't got a clue what he's talking about. But once you say, Holy Spirit, open this up to me. Then the Holy Spirit begins to open things. Not the whole of it all the time. But sometimes, even in the midst of like the book of Revelation, there's just a nugget there that's for me. God, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to me, teaching me about the love of God, teaching me that He stands at the door of my heart and knocks, and if I will open the door, He'll come into me. That's what He says to me. To me, not just to the church, not just to nations. And so that's who the Holy Spirit is. They are the Spirit, they are, these words are Spirit, and they are life. And so the Scriptures is a spiritual book that can only be understood as the Holy Spirit shed lights on it. It says that He searches all things. These are the things God has revealed to us, 1 Corinthians 2:10, by His Spirit. I encourage you, you can take this or leave it, but I think on Sunday mornings that we should come with a hard copy of the Word of God. I know that it's on your devices, and I know that Moses came down with the first tablet. I get that, okay? But there's just something about, it's just me, I'm sorry. But there's something about, and there's, for me, it's something about seeing people with their Bibles open. Because guess what? I don't know what you're doing on your phone. Sometimes I see you give a little chuckle and I realize, I don't think they're reading the Word or listening to me. I realize that most of us think we can multitask. But for 2.5 short hours, God wants to break through in our lives on a Sunday morning. 2.5 short hours. I'm preaching to the choir here, I know that. But I know there are people that come that are just on their phone, they're on Facebook, I can listen when I've spoken to them about it. I can listen, I heard what you said, but you didn't give God your full attention. So if you're talking to me, and I've got my phone out, and I'm looking at Facebook, I'm saying, oh my gosh, Brenda, look at that. And Brenda's pouring her heart out to me. Brenda's going to think, you know what? I think I'll talk to somebody else about this, right? If you're at a dinner table out with someone and all you're doing is looking at your phone, you are not giving them your undivided attention. Your attention is divided. Listen, the children need to put their iPads away when they're in church. It's a short time. Teach them to worship. Teach them to worship. Teach your kids to, you're sitting with me. This is not a friendship time. We'll come early. Oh, sorry. But we'll come early on Sunday morning. You talk to your friend after. I sat with Walker this morning. 3 times I had to say. I mean, he's a little different because he's special needs. Although he says, I'm not that special needs. Because he doesn't want to take the short bus. And I had to take his iPad away. I said, no. So he laid his head on the table. I poked him. His sister poked him. Sit up. Pay attention in church. Listen. I know sometimes for kids it can be boring. I think it's fine that they sit and color. But there is, if you're watching this happy little video, that child, they're not going to hear from the Holy Spirit. And why can't they hear from God? Sorry, that's my little soapbox. And I gotta tell you, yeah, it bugs me. As a pastor, it bothers me. And we need to say to the kids, you leave your iPads at home or in the car, and we'll do it before or we'll do it after. But while church is going, they're only here, how long are they here? For 40 minutes at the max. With great songs, great worship, greeting one another. You can have a cup of tea, right? So we've made it easy. So there, Scripture says a word to the wise is sufficient. So that's my word. These are the things that God has revealed to us by His Spirit. He's the Holy Spirit is the revealer. The Spirit, who does it? Holy Spirit. Who does it? Are you afraid to say His name? Who teaches? Who searches? The Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Lord, I want to go deeper with You. Well, then we let the Holy Spirit teach us those deep things. The Holy Spirit's ministry is also to bring to remembrance all the things that Jesus said or taught. There was a time, remember, in a season in here where we would say, you know, like I lost something and the Holy Spirit reminded me where it was, right? And because that was the Holy Spirit reminding you. He reminds us of those practical things. He doesn't just remind us of the word. He reminds us of practical things. And I think God is just wanting to push us out of our little comfort zone just a little bit more. Just do something that maybe we've never done before. Maybe preach at communion, you know. Let me just put a little footprint on your back and get you out there. A couple of weeks ago, I had a call from, you remember the baby bottles that we filled with coins? Okay, so that was the pregnancy support, and Rebecca's on the board of that ministry. But the director called me a couple of weeks ago, and I was sitting at home just as I had preached about the Holy Spirit, and, you know, let's do some things, let's make some noise, let's do stuff that we've never done before for the Holy Spirit. Well, she phoned and said, part of what they do is when a woman has had an abortion is that they walk them through that time, and they actually have a little memorial for the baby that they aborted, because we believe that a child in the womb is a living being, not a fetus. We did not have a memorial for a fetus. We had a memorial for a child. And so I won't go through all of what she talked about, but anyway, they walk them through this process. Well, this woman had had an abortion 30 years ago and was just now coming to the place. She'd carried guilt for 30 years, which apparently is very, very, very common. Because there's been a murder take place, no matter what the world or our government says. We know inside. So she asked me if I would do this memorial for this baby. And first I thought, I can't do that. I don't know about stuff like that. I mean, 30 years, can't you just get a grip and get over it? You know, like you're forgiven. But there's this process that has to take place. And so I found myself saying, yes, I'll do it. So that was supposed to be on a Tuesday. I said, sorry, I can't do it on Tuesday. I'm only available Thursdays. Yes, Jesus, thank you. Got out of that one. And she phoned back and said, no, the lady's changed. She'll do it on a Thursday. And it was like, oh, praise you, Jesus. So I had to do this memorial for this baby. And I want to tell you, I was stretched. All I really had to do was bring words of comfort to the mom, you know. And it was quite an amazing process, an 8-week process that this woman had gone through with inner healing and receiving the forgiveness of Jesus. But I tell you all that to say that God pushed me out of my comfort zone. I think he kind of tricked me. Because I said yes, and then they wanted to do it Tuesday, and then I could say no, and it's like, oh, thank you, Lord, thank you. And then she phoned back and said, no, it's Thursday, can you do it? And I thought, why can't I do it? I'm telling my congregation that the Holy Spirit can do anything through them. I'm telling us to make some noise for the kingdom of God. And so how can I tell and expect something to happen that's not happening in me? And so the Holy Spirit just set me up for this, and we just met down by Bayfront and talked, and we sat around a picnic table with 6 or 7 other women, and we prayed and just gave her some scripture that the Holy Spirit had given me, and then prayed for her. So it was good. And as I was going through that process, the Holy Spirit brought to my remembrance scriptures that I could use to comfort this woman. And so we see in the 4 Gospels, separately written with no contradictions, by the way, that each writer of the Gospels remembered what Jesus had taught them. But it was the Holy Spirit that brought these things to remembrance. It was the Holy Spirit that wrote this through men, and yes, through men, but he did. And he used people. One example, John 12:13, Jesus was entering Jerusalem triumphantly. People, you remember, they shouted, they declared, Hosanna, Hosanna. Scripture goes on to say that even though Scripture was being fulfilled right in front of their very eyes, the disciples didn't know it until Jesus was resurrected and the Holy Spirit had come. And when the Holy Spirit came, he brought that to remembrance. And they talked about it and they said, remember when that happened? Well, that's in scripture, back in this scripture back here. So it was the Holy Spirit that brought those things. The wonderful reminding work of the Holy Spirit. We live in a country that it's not illegal to have the Word of God. But in some places it is. And they are so grateful when people come and share with them and talk to them. But it's quite amazing that even those believers that have limited access to the Word, just to see how the Holy Spirit brings things back to their remembrance. Even though they don't have the complete scriptures, they've heard bits and pieces of it, and the Holy Spirit brings it back to remembrance. But in order to remember something, you have to first tuck it in you as well. Can the Holy Spirit teach you something that you've never learned before? Yeah. But his job is to bring to remembrance. So don't neglect the Word of God. Read the scriptures. Read it open. Say, Holy Spirit, show me what you want. And then when the time comes that it's necessary to bring that specific word back, he will bring that word back to you. I'm actually quite amazed when I sit down to pray and the word comes out. There's something within my flesh that thinks, oh, I didn't even know I knew that scripture. And then while I'm reading, I read, oh yeah, I had that marked. Wow, I don't even remember that. But the Holy Spirit did, and he brought it back to my remembrance. The same Holy Spirit can make a practical difference in our lives personally. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to understand how to hold the atmosphere in our churches and in our lives. Nowhere in Scripture is there a statement that limits the Holy Spirit's presence, that limits his power, that says that is for another dispensation, that's for a different time. There's nowhere written in Scripture that those days that the Holy Spirit came so powerfully in the book of Acts has done away with. So we might have traditional limitations. I had some traditional limitations that I had to bring under the Holy Spirit. I was kind of fearful of the unknown because I saw people controlled by the Holy Spirit doing weird and strange things, and I did not want that. I had some personal excuses that I just don't want a full cup of the Holy Spirit because one Sunday morning I might lay on the floor with my little Chinese shoes sticking out if I surrender fully to the Holy Spirit. One Sunday morning I might act like a drunken fool if I submit myself fully to the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you it's worth it. Submitting yourself and giving ourselves to the Holy Spirit, what is written in the Word about him. We need to take some barriers down and say, Holy Spirit, this isn't what I've been taught. I haven't learned these things before, but Holy Spirit, I'm open to you. I'm open to what your Word says, Holy Spirit, of how I need to lean on you and how you need to be my teacher, bring to remembrance, my comforter, my guide, my coach. Holy Spirit is all of those things, and when we need him, he's there for us. Amen? He never leaves us. We have a covenant. We have a covenant. I have a signed contract between me and God Almighty, signed by the blood of Jesus. My name and your name, if you're a believer, my name and your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life up there, written down, written down. Signed by Jesus Christ. And like Jody said, he's not going to go out of business. That's my thing about the guarantee. We've got a guarantee on this roof, but how do I know that your company is going to be around in 20 years? How do I know you're not going to go under? So those things don't entice me. But when it comes to Jesus, he's forever. He's eternal. This contract can never be broken. It's signed by God Almighty. And the Holy Spirit makes those things real to us in our lives. Amen? Father, thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, thank you. You're amazing and awesome, Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you stir up a hunger within our congregation. Stir up a hunger within me, Holy Spirit. Not just to leave the book on the shelf, but to open the scriptures and find out what you have to say to us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you bring things to remembrance. We ask that you would do your job and be our teacher and our guide. We need you to teach us, Holy Spirit. We need you to teach us. And so we trust you, Holy Spirit. We thank you. We love you. We say that you are awesome and amazing. And God, we don't want to just sit back and we want to jump in. We want to facilitate your moving in our lives and in our church, God. So we say, Lord, just do it again. Do it again, Holy Spirit. We bless you. We love you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. You know, it's going to lead us in this song. Let's stand together and worship the Lord if you want to come forward. Just do it. Oh, I also want to tell you, these things are for you to hand out. They're not just to write it on the back of. Please take them, hand them out, give them to your friends, and invite some people.
Thank you, Jesus.